Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Network. The passage of time will now bring you to something strange, unique, and idiosyncratic. Have a good time.
My friendship to all of you precludes my involvement with any one of you. But if you wanna make love, then I do too, and I'll be right there behind you.
Greetings, constant listeners, and welcome to The Losers Club, a Stephen King podcast. I'm your host, Michael Monroeville Mall Rothman, and let's just say I've got two tickets to paradise, one for me and one for my fellow co-host.
Hey, this is Jen 2, The Rage Adams, and I am ready to get out of town.
Yeah, me too. It's been a long time. A very long time. Hashtag Aaliyah. It's an old song I love. But speaking of music, no shade to Eddie Money, but I doubt he would dream of where we're going today. Do you know where we're going today? Did you look at your ticket?
I did look at my ticket, and it says Maine, and I'm so excited.
Yes.
King might be there.
He might be there, or let's hope he's there, because he could be in, I think it's Clearwater he lives in also.
Yeah.
But well, either way, we're going to King's Dominion, but we're not going to the KD that we find in the pages. We're going to the real deal, because today we're going to be talking to James Tinker, whose family has brought constant readers from all over the world into the real King's Dominion with SK Tours of Maine. I don't know. I really love this chat that we had, and I thought that what made this even more essential to me was just hearing all the local stories that James was able to share with us. What did you think, Jen?
It was so much fun. And to think, like, he talks about, like, growing up in essentially Derry, which was so cool to hear, like, because I just hadn't thought about, like, what it would be like to read a super scary book when the world that you're reading about is literally the world you live in, which is really cool.
I was trying to think of anything that I can associate, and the only thing I could think of, and you'll hear it on the interview, is Miami Vice, just because I grew up in South Florida. So I guess I should have, you know, read a few more local writers in South Florida to get that same experience. But look, we got a lot of stories up ahead. Some of them are funny. Some of them are heartfelt. Some of them are even scary. So let's get to it. Constant listeners, buckle in your seatbelt. We're going to King's Dominion.
Somewhere there's a pile of photos, sitting, growing older. Unchanging faces, collecting dust, stare into the dark of story.
Hey!
Hi!
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Long day.
Long day and pleasant nights, though? Hopefully this is a pleasant night.
Yeah, it'll be a pleasant night, but I just finished a tour.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
We're both incredibly jealous.
I know. My friend is in Maine right now, and I keep geeking out, like, is Stephen King there? I'm like, oh, yeah, you gotta go.
Well, it's torturous for us because, you know, we run socials, and every day, at least every day, if not multiple times a day, we get tags from this tour. and I'm just like, oh my God, I need to go do this finally. How was today's tour?
A good tour, good people. It didn't rain on us. I'm going to be giving tours in the rain tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. It's dedication.
Yeah.
No. People plan months in advance to get up here. So once they're here, they don't care. They can be Storm of the Century. They're taking this tour.
Oh, you know, I would be the same way, honestly.
Seriously. I feel like almost like the rain could add to some of the settings too, especially if you're like looking at like the storm drain or any of the it influenced locations. They probably they embellish the effects a little bit, or the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, has this summer been pretty busy now that things are opening up, or?
It's busy.
Yeah.
It started very slow, and, you know, the borders aren't open yet. So Canadians aren't down here yet. The Europeans aren't over here yet, but, it's been busy. It's been steady. I'm turning people away every day. There's no.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
That's amazing.
Well, in 2019, my father and I were doing tours. Mm-hmm. And we were doing like 35 people a day.
Jesus.
We're doing like
3-4 tours a day. We're killing it. So in January 2020, we bought a new bus, a bigger bus.
Yeah.
And we know how that went.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. It's wild how that all happened for multiple industries.
Yeah.
I remember going into 2020, we're all like, all right, this is the year. We're going to hit up every festival. We're going to maybe start our own festival. We're going to do all this. And then 2 months in, we're like, I don't know if this is going to happen. You can just literally hear the record scratch behind us.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, because I think, every story has a beginning. Every story, every person has an origin. So how did SK Tours come together?
My father used to have a bookstore in Bangor called Betts Bookstore. Mm-hmm. And Betts Bookstore was the first store Stephen King ever signed a book in.
Wow.
His first book signing for Carrie in 1974 was at Betts Bookstore in downtown Bangor. My dad was at that signing, and he didn't want to waste $6.
Oh, my gosh. Just like, cool. Local resident with the book.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And later in 1991, my father bought that store. And then he became – and there was no Stephen King collectible shop in Bangor. There was none. There still really is very little of people trying to like cash in on the fact that Steve lives here, but he's a huge fan, and everyone coming in the store wanted Stephen King books, but every other bookstore in Bangor just had the current bestseller. So my dad started making sure he had every single Stephen King book on the shelf.
Smart.
Smart. And then Barnes and Noble came to town. That was bad news.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah. But I imagine they probably didn't have the depth though, you know? Like they were probably like, oh, we've got Gerald's Game and Dolores Claiborne and Shining.
Mm-hmm. And whatever the current tie in.
Yeah.
Over, after for 10 years he had a 2-story bookstore. First story was new, second story was used, and he was doing it. But after a while, specifically when the Barnes and Noble and then the Sam's Club and the Walmart and all these, discount big box sellers, my dad realized that people want Stephen King books. Mm-hmm. So he went from being a 2-story bookstore to a 1-room specialty Stephen King shop.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and he became a Stephen King destination over the years. Mm. And that's how it really started. Then my dad sold the bookstore. Betts Bookstore was still available online. Mm-hmm. Not, we don't own it anymore. A gentleman purchased it and he runs it online as an online bookstore. And my dad took a couple of years off. And then my mother, instead of saying, Stu, get off the couch, she told him to start doing tours. Because he used to give this tour to large visiting groups that would come to Bangor to visit. The first group was called the Schemers. The Stephen King emailers. That's old. That's some OG stuff right there.
Seriously.
And they would come up and my dad would give them large, get a big bus and give them a tour of Bangor. And then he kind of developed a tour of Bangor. And then after we sold the store, my dad started up the tour business about 10 years ago.
From the sounds of it, your dad's a hell of a businessman. He knows right. what the demand is, and he knows how to supply it, which is great. So was he a fan of Stephen King, after the signing at that point, where he's like, all right, I'm going to come around. I'm all in.
He's been a fan. Stephen King did 2 book signings for Betts Bookstore.
Mm. Oh, wow.
He did one for Bag of Bones, because that opens in Derry. And then, and also he just did a general signing. And he put us on the map.
Yeah.
Absolutely put us on the map. But when my dad started SK Tours, he thought he was just going to do a couple tours a week, make a little scratch money to, fund his car hobby. He didn't understand what was going to happen. And, by 2016, 15, he was working himself right to the ground.
Yeah.
I was in the Navy for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And I retired and came home to help. And then when COVID hit, he retired. So now it's just me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And now I'm working myself to the ground. It'll be okay. Next season will be better.
Yeah.
But I was supposed to take over in 3 years. Mm. But if you're in Maine and you're in tourism, you work.
Yeah.
until the snow flies, and then you can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, when COVID hit town, the state shut down, everything shut down. And for the first time in a decade, my dad had time off in the summer, and that was it. You know, yeah. I was going to take over in 3 years, but when I said, Dad, we got tours to do, the phone's ringing. There's people from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut could come up without a quarantine. Mm-hmm. They started calling. I'm like, Dad, let's get back to work. And he went, eh.
Yeah. Oh.
So instead of taking over in 3 years, I took over about 3 weeks.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
And I've just been, I wasn't ready. He said he was going to do a couple tours a week for me this year to help me out. And he bought an RV. Oh. It's a comedy act at this point where he's just like, well, but you know what? He's created something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Created something amazing with Bet's Bookstore. Mm-hmm. And then he created something amazing with SK Tours.
Yeah.
And I would love to, you know, work with him, but he needs to go have his adventure. It's his turn.
Yeah.
And is he joining the True Knot with the RV? I'm hoping that's not the next career pivot for him, but keep a watch on him. Keep a watch on him for sure.
Yeah. But he's having a great time. He's doing the stuff he always wanted to do. I think COVID and then me taking over the business, let him know it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. He can relax. It'll be fine. And he and my mother used to answer the phones, and he and I would do tours. And now they're both retired, and they're going to go, you know, have the adventure and probably not do another Maine winter.
Yeah. I feel like that's the MO, even with King. He's like, I'm good. I've had enough ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your own King origin story. Have you always been a fan? What was the first book that you read?
The first book I read was The Eyes of the Dragon.
Oh, wow.
It's a great gateway book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Steve wrote that for Naomi, his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like horror. He wanted her to have a book of her father's that she could read, so he wrote her one. And when that was later published for the rest of the world, that was the first Stephen King book my father let me read. And then I did The Talisman.
Oh, nice.
And then I had The Shining, and down I went, mm-hmm. right down the rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. 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 I feel like The Shining's kind of a tipping point for a lot of people.
Yeah, totally. It got me. It got me. And I've recently I'm rereading every book in order now.
Oh, wow.
Except for the Dark Tower series, that will be last.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I reread The Shining a while ago for the first time as an adult.
It hits differently, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It really does.
Entirely different. And now that I do this for a living, every time I read a book, I think, ooh, I got to put that in the tour. I got to talk about this. I want to talk about this.
Yeah. Have you kind of adapted the tour because the thing that's wonderful about King is he's still putting books out, you know? So how has the tour kind of adapted over time?
Well, it's interesting because Steve is different to my father and my mother and to me. We all have our own King story or origin story or our own favorites. So I couldn't just start giving my father's tour. I just start writing all of my own tours so that I could give something. Giving my father's tour is not fair to anybody. I need to have my own version, my own King tour. My mother's and my father's and mine were all different. So I had to do the research. I had to read the books myself. I had to develop my own route, my own tour, something I'm comfortable. And, you know, everyone in Bangor is 2 degrees of Stephen King.
They've either met him
or they know someone who has met him. So we all have different Stephen King stories. And my Stephen King story is different than my father's in, like, the times I've seen him, when I've met him, how his books influenced me living in Derry. And I get to talk a little bit of my father's story with Stephen King, which he never really talked about. It's a completely different tour. Not completely different, but I'd say every 3 years the tour's overhauled in some way.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to keep it fresh. Whoever's giving the tour, you could just tell sometimes that they've done it a lot, you know, and that there's a redundancy to it. So keeping it fresh, I think, is really smart. And I wondered, you know, living in Bangor, you know, what aspects of King's work did you connect with and how has that actually influenced some of these changes? You know, or, you know, are there aspects of the city that you see personally in his work that you're like, ooh, I can go to that area and I can embellish that and show maybe where that influence has come from?
Absolutely. I grew up right here.
Mm-hmm.
And when the book It was published, and then when I read the book It, it blew my mind and it scared the crap out of me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, same.
Because he showed me, he didn't show me like his imagination. He showed me my town.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me the where, he showed me where I walked. He showed me where I live. I grew up next to the standpipe.
Oh gosh.
I still live next to the standpipe on the other side of it.
Oh God.
Wow.
I lived, when I was a kid, the street I'm on was Jackson Street.
Oh my gosh.
I grew up on Jackson Street, living across the street from Summit Park at the base of the standpipe.
This is crazy.
And that's just one scene, right? That's just
Were you just afraid to leave your house?
Yeah, right?
Actually, do you have time for a long story?
Oh, please, go for it.
Yes, go for it.
Yeah.
So one time, once I got into Steve, I started reading all the time. I was up mm-hmm. way late after my bedtime every night reading a book. But one night, I'm reading about Stanley in the book It. He's a bird watcher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting at a park bench in Summit Park, which is right across the street from my house.
Oh, Lord. God,
and looking at the birds in the bird bath, which is right across the street from my house. And one day he looks up and he sees the door to the standpipe is open. Now, in the 50s, when that scene takes place, the standpipe was locked for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
It locked in 1941. It didn't open again until 1991.
Wow.
So he looks up and he sees that door's open and it's not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up going inside and then dead things start slowly and creepily start coming down the stairs for Stanley. And my mother calls up, Jamie, it's time for bed.
Yeah, not going to happen tonight.
No, yeah.
You know,
wow.
Steve made me afraid of the dark at my own corner.
Mm-hmm.
I used to walk my dog every night past the standpipe at night. And after that book, I ran home past the standpipe.
Totally, 100%.
I bet. You're giving me the chills just talking about it.
Yeah, and that's a part of my tour that my father doesn't have because his story is different. But the where the covered bridge used to be, there's still a walking bridge there. I know the canals. Basically, every death that happened in Derry, I can walk to it. I can show you where it was. And I've read the book It three times, twice with a map in my hand.
I was going to ask if you did. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have to.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I'm just, curious. The second time I have to do this and do this right. So literally I've gone spot for spot on the map. The kids was the school that was the kids' school in the Losers Club was my school.
That's so wild. I mean, because I'm from Miami, so growing up, it was like, cool, Miami Vice is down the street. But so that's not scary. That's more like, cool, right. I hope I see Don Johnson.
Yeah.
The fact that you had Pennywise in your backyard, that's a totally different story.
I know.
A little
that's
different.
Nightmare fuel.
Just a little different.
Yeah, and that's one thing I love about Stephen King. He's such a personal writer that I feel like in the course of doing the podcast and just talking to so many constant readers, I feel like everybody kind of has a personal connection and a personal story in a way that they relate to Stephen King. And so I love hearing about yours. What do you think is your favorite stop on the tour?
It's this storm drain.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I put a clown arm in it and I put a Pennywise mask in it. And people, they pose next to it, and people propose marriage next to it.
I mean, how do you say no,
That's great.
That's my spot. It's corny. I don't care. I love it. People love it. They get to be there and they act like Pennywise is tearing their arm off or pulling their leg.
I mean, I would 1,000% do that.
Oh yeah. Every day I would be out there. Like,
it's so much fun. And
oh my God!
And the great part about this is, I give the tour, twice a day, every day, but every audience is different. Everybody's favorite book, everyone's origin story, everyone's love of Stephen King actually influences the tour as we get to have conversations and as we move through a lot of these stops.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of these people, they've been waiting their whole life.
Oh yeah.
To be at a spot that I couldn't wait to get away from when I was a teenager. Like, I got to get out of here. And they're like, we're on our way. And so when they get to have this experience, it makes it special for me too. I can only imagine the people who give tours at the Stanley. You know, it's another one of those pilgrimage kind of stops.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to go, but I'm not going to Colorado in February.
Oh, I know.
It's the only time I get time off is February.
And that's probably, I have to imagine that's probably around the time that King went there when he was writing The Shining, because I feel like that's got to be a dead zone for them, no pun intended. I did want to ask, though, you know, you were talking about the, you know, the tour growers. What would you say is like the split between like the diehard constant readers and, you know, like not the passerbys, but just, you know, tourists coming in through Bangor?
Mm. There are a lot of constant readers, mm-hmm. and their supportive families. I mean, one constant reader will show up and the rest of the family is with them for the tour.
Mm. Yeah, that would be my family.
Yeah. And I try to get in as much Bangor history and Steve's charitable works. I don't want someone who doesn't read the books to be bored.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a new trend of people that are showing up for the tour who have only seen movies.
Really?
Yeah, I noticed that on some of
the... That's an interesting trend. But luckily, there are so many movies. You can still have a lot of the experience. But that's a new trend. Now, there was a time when I'd get a lot of casual kind of looky-loos, like we're in Bangor, we don't know what to do. You know, maybe I'll take a tour. I'm not a Stephen King fan, but I got nothing else to do. Let's take the tour. Mm-hmm. Those days are kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm booked a month in advance.
Wow.
That's or 2 months
great.
In advance.
Yeah.
So if someone wakes up on Thursday and sees a rack card in their hotel, I'm like, oh, I think I'll go take the tour. It pains me to say no to them, but I just don't have room. The people who are taking this tour are the people who plan 2 months in advance. And those people, they're here to party. They're here. They have questions. They're here to have a good time. So I don't get a lot of the, I'm not a fan, but I'm here. I used to, but I don't get those anymore. Now, with so few seats available, until I can get some help, the only people that are showing up are pretty into it. And this year, I started private tours, which my father
saw.
Yeah.
My father never really offered private tours as a thing. And the private tours, those aren't constant readers. Those are serious fans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like
those are
Annie Wilkes kind of fans.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. They are I think you did a podcast with Julia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She did a private tour with me once. She's up here filming right now.
She is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very exciting. Right, I can't wait to see what she does.
There's another guy I just did a private tour, a guy named Max. He has just got a contract today for $1 Baby.
Oh.
And a lot of people, they come up here when they went to private tours, either they just don't want to be around everyone else or they want my undivided attention.
Mm-hmm.
And those are a good time.
I think of it almost kind of like the public Q&A when you see a really great film and like an early on too. Like I live near the Music Box here in Chicago and we get a lot of early films sometimes. And a lot of times it's, you know, public that, you know, is just interested. They're like, okay, cool, free event, I'll come in. And they have the Q&A at the end, and we've had some really embarrassing questions. And I know in my own mind, I'd be like, oh, God, I wish you were just here with super fans. Like, or with, you know, folks that could actually, you know, ask some questions instead of like, you know, Cubs or White Sox to Wes Anderson. Very strange. So I imagine it's almost kind of the same mentality with the private tour. You're like, well, I want it not only a personalized experience, but to really get into the nitty gritty. And, you know, without having to kind of get in line for it.
the private tour, I can only put 5 people in that vehicle and I can go different places. Getting in and out of it is easier because I'm not moving too many. My regular tour is 14 people. And
wow, that's a pretty good.
That's more of a presentation than, you know, getting to have a personal interaction. Mm-hmm. I love both. Some people don't want to spend the money for the private tour, and I'm glad I keep the regular tour pretty affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to raise the price. I want people to get in and enjoy the tour.
Mm-hmm.
But for the private tour, that's a chance where we can talk more about the personal story. In the regular tour, they're just listening and watching and driving. They're not getting a lot of question and answer because that vehicle is considerably harder to drive.
Mm-hmm. What's the most obscure question you've ever been asked?
Wow.
Or have you ever been stumped? Oh, sorry.
No. One time, a part of it is that I won't answer a question if I haven't personally found the answer. So it's not that I get obscure questions. I get questions, and then I have to go do research.
Mm.
And I write the questions down. One time I got the question, was the music video for the Ramones Pet Cemetery filmed in Mount Hope Cemetery?
And I don't know.
I don't either.
It was filmed in a garden cemetery in New York, but I couldn't answer the question until I went, I watched it, figured out it wasn't my cemetery, and then I had to go find the right cemetery. Another time someone asked, is there a secret passage underground between Steve's house and the guest house? And the answer is no, but I had
unless
to
that's what he wants you to think.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I get a lot of questions because I say a thing and then there's a question and then there's five more questions, because once you pick at that scab, you just want to know all about the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so every now and then, one time someone asked about if Steve was afraid of frogs.
Mm. What? That's so funny.
Maybe they've read Rainy Season recently.
Yeah, that's true.
And or Duma Key.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Frog. Mm-hmm.
And at his house, there's a statue of a frog on his property. And it's as far away from his house as it could be. And from his house, you can't see that frog. It's behind a bush. So I don't know if Steve is afraid of frogs. That's probably the only question that I haven't been able to, like, someone asked once if Steve has a plot picked out for himself in Mount Hope Cemetery.
Oh, wow. What a morbid question.
I know.
It's a fair question, though, because that's the most iconic. I mean, that is the cemetery, right? So in terms of the frog thing, though, we will start a campaign. That will ask, starting with this episode when we promo it, we'll just be asking, you know, like, we kind of want to know, yes or no on the frogs there, Stephen. Yeah. What's going on?
And as I do this, as I read more books or reread books as an adult, or get the questions, or like when we can get Canadians down again, that's great, because a lot of them come down after they've been in the filming of chapters one and two of it, and see, I learned from them. I have questions for them.
You know? I love it.
And like when you guys come and take the tour, I'll learn something from you. You'll learn something from me. And that makes my tour richer over the years as I keep spending all this time with people. Like, you know, Julia doing that dollar baby, she's in Steve's dorm room.
I can't believe it. Yeah. It's,
you know,
and her story of that, you know, how am I not going to get something out of that that's fun? I get to be part of this wonderful thing where we all get to just have a good time and find something that we can all talk about.
Yeah, and honestly, it makes it going to work so much better in a way that most Americans don't get to do, in the sense that, all right, I'm looking forward to, not only because I'm doing what I'm loving, which is, you know, already you cut out in the majority of this country with regards to their work, but then you get to kind of, it's nurturing, you know, you are learning. And I never really thought of it that way. I love that quid pro quo.
It's totally affirming. Like when I was in the military, we're primarily not having a good time. It's not a fun profession.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone comes here to have fun. And when I first got my start in the Navy, I was a guy with a needle in my hand. No one's ever happy to see that guy.
No.
Everybody's happy to see me now. And then when I was in military leadership, no one would listen to me. And now everyone listens to everything I have to say.
Oh, yeah. Aww. They want to know your stories.
And they want to know all about it. And I don't think I'll ever stop learning, ever stop noticing, ever stop connecting dots. And the more I read, the more dots I connect. I can't fit them into the tour, but, you know, the dots are connecting anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, as a writer, he just absorbs everything around him. And I feel like we'll be reading something and I'll notice, well, that kind of reminds me of this. And that kind of reminds me of that. And there's just so much, like, there's such a large body of evidence that you can start to see the patterns over time, which is what I think makes people so excited to go see all of the places that they've read about, which is why I'm dying to get up there. I imagine that the picture I tend to see the most on social media is in front of the gates of his house. And I imagine that would be the most popular spot. Is that true, or is that or is there another one that really gets a rise out of people? I know you said the sewer grape.
Steve's house is where the tears happen.
I mean, I would probably cry.
Yeah, I would definitely.
it is fantastic. You know, I walked past his house to go to school every day.
Oh, wow. Know,
I turned left at the three-headed dragon to go down to Fifth Street, where Joe and I both went to school. I was a year behind Joe. He and I never interacted or anything. But walking to school was you turn left at the three-headed dragon and go down Cedar Street and go to Fifth Street. Oh, I walk past his house every day. As a kid, to me, it's not some magical thing. But for everyone else, they put a lot of time and effort just to get up here to do it. And it takes a lot of planning for some people. And people spend more time, energy, and money to get to the tour than the tour.
Yeah.
This is a big undertaking for a lot of people.
And I imagine there's, as you're saying, there's such an emotional release when you get there. I want to jump on something you just said where, you know, growing up, and I have a couple questions on that end because, you know, for me in South Florida, we had Floyd Hall, which is where everyone played T-ball at. And so in our neighborhood, we had the owner of that baseball stadium, and it was, oh, there's the man, there's the big mansion, Floyd Hall. He owns the baseball stadium. How cool. And in hindsight now, 30 years later, I'm like, okay, that wasn't a big deal. But you have one of the biggest novelists of all time, probably since Charles Dickens, that's right down the street. I mean, it had to have been kind of like the haunted house that you read in his books that are down the street, you know, like Diebold Street or something like that. I mean, was it almost like Wonka, you know, where, you know, that's the house right there. Is he going to come out? Or was it kind of just like you're saying, not a big deal?
Well, my first memory of Steve was his morning walks. He was always out. He's always out there. He was out on his normal daily walk on one of our tours the other day. I was with Sebastian Cruz. He's doing a documentary called King on Screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were driving around Bangor because he's thinking about doing an introduction in Bangor or in Maine somewhere and filming here. So we did the tour. We're walking around and we stopped at Steve's house. And while we're walking back to the tour van, Steve walks right past us. Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, Steve, welcome back. Nice to see you. Nice to be back. Walks right past us, goes right into the house.
Oh, my God.
I would lose my mind.
There was never a spot where, like, ooh, it's creepy, creepy Stephen King. You'd see him at the movie theaters all the time. But between the end of the baseball season and the start of the next camp, he would not shave. So you'd see him big, old, bearded. You'd see him in the movie theaters. You'd see him in Rite Aid. You'd see him at the grocery store. There was never a spot where he was this, you know, otherworldly thing. I will say that trick-or-treating at his house was awesome.
I was going to say, because he was on Conan. He said he hated it because everyone would go to his house.
Well, when I was a kid, it was just us local kids. And I only went once because it really was too long of a wait.
Oh, wow.
I only went one time. And but later, schools would bus kids in costumes. School field trips. Excuse me. And one year, 6,000 people showed up.
Jeez, no wonder he hates that holiday.
And then he put it in the front page news, a little corner, front page corner of Bangor Daily News, my house is closed for Halloween. And everyone on that street went, oh, thank goodness, finally. Because they come through like locusts.
Oh, yeah. God, that must have been awesome, though. I got to look in Google some photos and see if there's some out there for that, because that would just be such a sight. Because I'm imagining, I mean, when I think of fall, you know, obviously I think of like Connecticut and, you know, anywhere in New England. But yeah, Maine is just, I'm from South Florida. I don't get really any holidays. I get the 80 degree heat, 75 if we're lucky, then everyone wears jackets. But for me, you know, and especially moving up to Chicago now where I'm at, I'm like, wow, all right, four seasons, different seasons to stay on theme. I can only imagine the Halloween season in Maine. And especially being near his house, that's heaven. Like that is heaven. Yeah. Like I can't think of a more perfect sight.
As long as it's not snowing.
And I've learned that
Halloween is beautiful as long as there's still leaves on the ground and not snow on the ground. Trick or treating in a foot of snow is not as appealing when you're, you know, seven.
No. It's funny. One of the last Halloweens that we had was pre-pandemic was in 2019, and we had actually been able to see Dr. Sleep the night before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time I was writing film reviews, and I remember in Chicago, it just really just snowed like crazy on Halloween because they did a limited engagement for that Halloween weekend. And I just remember thinking like, oh yeah, this is on brand for what I'm writing about, you know, given the Overlook and everything. But man, is it a bummer when Halloween is getting snowed upon. That's not something I really, you know, was familiar with growing up. And so yeah, it is kind of a bummer. It kind of washes away the holiday.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you said that you had met him. And so I'm wondering, what is his relationship with SK Tours? And did he give you any insights, or can you tell us a little bit about meeting him?
The first time I ever met Steve was at a book signing for Eyes of the Dragon at Bangor Mall. And right after that, he quit book signings.
Really?
It was a terrible signing. He was just, they put him at a table, they walked away, and he just got abused. Like, I'm a teenage kid. And as a teenage kid, I'm like, this poor guy. I mean, he's popping aspirin between signatures. There was no control of the process. And after that, he's like, I'm done, I'm out. And then I've just seen him here and there. But while my dad created something amazing, I was gone the whole time. Yeah, and there's no time he's been like, hey, let me tell you something. That doesn't happen. There's nothing would make me happier than taking Steve on the tour, right? And just going for a drive. But it'd be a shame if he goes, that's not true. That's not that's not true. That's I don't think that would happen. I do a lot of research to try to not be wrong. But there's the closest I've come to, other than like, hey, Steve, how you doing? Or him walking past us and waving, is earlier, maybe 2 months ago, the King Foundation sent us a thing saying there's the terminal child coming up to Bangor. And that child's going to do an interview here at the TV station. Wouldn't it be great if you gave them a tour? And the answer was yes, the minute I could block off schedule. I actually pulled my dad out of retirement to do that.
Oh, wow.
That one. But whatever agreement between my father and Steve happened, I'm not privy to it. But he sees me basically every day he's in Bangor. He sees me, and he said, you know, get off my lawn, kid. He's never said that. One time I was given a tour, and everyone was looking over at the guest house. And if you've never been to Steve's house, there's the gate that you all see in the pictures. Mm-hmm. And then about, you know, 50, maybe 100 feet down, 30, 40 yards down is the driveway. Mm-hmm. And beyond the driveway is the guest house. And I was at the Steve's front gate, and there was a little kid playing with his camera. And I saw Steve coming. And I said, hey, kid, let me see your camera. And he had the mask on. He had a little mask on. He was walking, and I distracted the kid. Steve walked right past me, waved at me, didn't say anything. I didn't even acknowledge him. And he walks in and walks right behind that entire group looking at the guest house. None of them knew it. Stephen King had just snuck in right behind him.
Oh my God.
Because I wasn't going to go like, hi, Steve.
Right, exactly.
Walked, right?
Yeah.
I want it to be a chance where we get to do this thing, and I don't want to obviously offend Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So I do the best I can to at least give him the space that I can.
Yeah, I'm from Nashville, and so country music, like there's a lot of country music artists down here, and it's kind of like an unspoken thing in the town that you just treat them like everybody else. You don't make a big deal out of it, and it's just kind of, I think that's why a lot of people come here and like to live around here. So is that kind of how it is with Stephen King and Banger? Is it kind of like you just treat them like regular people?
It really is. It really is. Julia came up for dinner one time. We were having dinner at the Oriental Jade.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And my mother put
it. Were the egg rolls okay?
Yeah, right.
The fortune cookies.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But my mother put it this way. We do everything we can to pay no attention to Stephen King. The only way to do that is to pay very close attention to Stephen King. If that makes sense.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
It totally does.
Yeah.
If you're aware of him, you can give him space. But, you know, we have a waterfront concert venue downtown on the waterfront, holds more people than there are in Bangor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And every now and then he'll just show up in general population.
Because he loves rock music.
He loves rock music. He loves just it. Yeah. And he'll just, he'll be out there with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And we leave him alone.
I like to imagine him in the crowd or like the a mosh pit for a band coming in. You know, you're sitting there and just like, all right, this band freaking rules. And then you look over and he's right there and he's like, you know, pushing everybody around. And, you know, I love it. Well, you had mentioned, you know, the Stephen and Tabitha King Foundation. And I wanted to digress a little bit on them just because they feel so integral to Bangor and how they helped shape the city over the years.
Oh, that's a long list.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
It's a long list. Oh, no, it's good. They've invested a lot of money in our hospital. Mm-hmm. Northern Lights Eastern Maine Medical Center is the largest hospital in Northern Maine. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's Portland down south, there's Augusta, the capital, there's Bangor, and then there's Woods for 3 hours. That hospital gives most of the northern half of the state its specialty care. And that northern half of the state is what you would call the rural poor. They don't have a lot of resources. The thing I know Stephen and Tabitha King Foundation most clearly has done is rebuilt a children's wing and brought the Ronald McDonald House to Bangor, the first Ronald McDonald House in
Oregon. Wow, that's awesome.
They saved the Bangor Public Library, and they put an addition on it. They built the Sean T. Mansfield Baseball Stadium. They built the Beth Pankow Aquatic Facility. They have saved, I think, more libraries than most of us have ever been in.
Wow.
Not just in Maine, but down in Florida, too. Mm-hmm. They do things for schools, fire departments, police departments. There's just no end. The problem with it for me is that he won't talk about it. You know, his what he's always said is that the left hand shouldn't know what the right hand is doing. And really the only time you hear Steve talk about his charitable works is he'll be at a commencement speech and he'll say, I just gave the soup kitchen downtown $10,000. Try to match me on the way out.
Love it.
Other than that, he is so tight-lipped, and his name is on no charitable work he's ever done. So what I really want is to get into the Stephen and Tabitha King Foundation, and I have a list of questions.
Yeah, right?
Because I don't get to tell on the tour a third of what I know, but I don't even know half of it. They don't share it. They do charity in secret, and I have nothing but respect for them, but I want to know. I want to know because I want to share these great things. I want to share those stories.
Yeah.
Because those are powerful stories on this tour.
It reminds me of there's a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode in which Larry David donates like a wing, donates money to a wing for an art museum, and he puts his name up, and then right next to him is someone named Anonymous. And everyone's like, what a hero. And he's like, I should have done that. So it looks like that's like Stephen King's MO is just to be anonymous everywhere. You know, one of the next projects I imagine is involving with the foundation is turning the estate into a retreat for writers, which I take it that's in the process right now.
It's frustrating because when Steve started talking about this, a lot of these magazines went out of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they started telling everyone that Steve's house is going to be a museum. And one magazine even said, Steve's house is going to be a museum. If you want to get into it now, call SK Tours.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you must have been ringing.
Well, wow. It took me about a year to get that thing changed. And I won't name who it is. It's taken care of. But I got a call today. Is this a Stephen King museum? A bunch of magazines have put out that Steve's house is going to be a museum. It's going to be open to the public, and that is never going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of his last things he ever put on Facebook before he left Facebook was that my house is not going to be a museum. It's going to be the home of the foundation and the archives.
Smart. Mm-hmm.
Not open to the public. The guest house, he said, will be a writer's retreat for 5 writers in residence to live there and write books.
That's so cool.
And I can't wait to find out how they're going to choose 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know right now.
Yeah.
I know.
That
I can't imagine how many applications they're going to get.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be
through
the roof.
It's going to be one of those we broke the internet yesterday.
It will. Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know all about it. I need to know because when that thing opens, I'm going to be answering questions about it for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was going to ask, like, how is that going to change the tour? And the fact that he's doing this, does this mean he's, you know, officially leaving Maine? Or is he going to have another residence?
He has a lake house in Lovell, Maine.
Mm, that's true.
Which is down near Bridgeton. Bridgeton is where the story of The Mist takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
And levels where he kind of got smacked around by a van. He spends more of his time in Maine there. I don't think there'll ever be a time where he's not a Maine resident. But I don't think I can put into terms the Grand Central Station the front of his house is. And at some point, at, I mean, at 73, privacy would probably be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the fact that the house will still be there, the gate will still be there, the King Foundation will be there, the Writers Retreat will be there. He's giving us, you know, more than he's already given us more than we could ever ask for. But I don't think he'll ever be absent. I don't think his influence will ever be absent from our town.
Well, and you had mentioned kind of including some King current events on some of the tours. So are some of his the charitable works that you know about? Is that kind of what you mean by that? Or what,
no,
what would be another example?
He did that reading came out. Simon & Schuster did that little thing on Tuesday. Chapelwaite's coming out August 22nd. Stephen King film adaptions going out. I talked about The Stand, the new miniseries that just came out. There's a new book coming out, and there's more books coming out. So I try to find kind of current stuff, specifically with film adaptions. Because there's a lot more moving pieces in film adaptions than there are books. And that's where I could talk about a lot of the current events, like what's coming to HBO, what's coming to Hulu, what's not coming to Hulu. Talking about those things, that's where a lot of the current events, like The Talisman being made into a show from the Duffer Brothers. Like, that could be a half-hour conversation.
Oh, totally.
Like, it gets to about 2 minutes, but it could be 30.
Well, speaking of adaptations, I mean, like, were you there when they were filming Pet Sematary in 89? Do you recall any of the filming that was going down in that?
I remember I was in high school, and I know my English teacher was an extra. The stuff that happened at Mount Hope Cemetery, there weren't a lot of extras there. Mm. I mean, those are like kind of known. The rest of it was done not in Bangor. So we knew it was going on, but it didn't kind of affect us in Bangor since it was happening in a different part of Maine. And then the cemetery scenes for Mount Hope Cemetery, there weren't a lot of extras in on that one. That was all pretty much just cast actors.
I only asked just because our friend of the pod, a good friend of mine, John Campiano, he had directed it, the Unearthed and Untold documentary, and just watching it, I was like, they really did capture the spirit in that film, if only because the spirit of that area, you know, is right there that they were using to create the film itself. I meant the spirit of the book and the setting, just because it seems like the whole community really rallied behind it.
And that was a great documentary.
Yeah, right?
I've watched that thing like 5 times.
Yeah.
I've got it. I keep watching it. I thought that was a great documentary.
Same.
And a great communication of, you know, what it takes in a place that's not Hollywood, or in this case, it, not Georgia or Hollywood, where we don't do this a lot.
Yeah.
And the making of Pet Sematary brought like $1.5 million into Maine, which is fantastic. But a bunch of people who probably, you know, most likely never did anything like that again in their lives. But for this little moment, man, they had to get it right. And I think that movie is fantastic.
I do too. I think a few months ago I revisited it, and it's always been one of my favorite adaptations, just because I think Pet Sematary is my favorite. That with The Dead Zone is probably my favorite books of his. But just watching that movie, you really do feel as if it is a Stephen King book. And not just because he wrote the screenplay, but because of where it's set. It just felt like all the materials were right. And I wonder why, like, you don't have more adaptations that are set there and actually filmed in Maine. Because I feel like even with, like, Castle Rock, I think they filmed in like Massachusetts, I think,
they
for
did.
That show.
Yeah. The reason for that is the legislation at the government level offers probably the worst set of tax incentives any state in America. So all we do is indie stuff. And
really?
You know, the person who runs the Maine film office, wonderful person, is actively trying to get that change to invite more filmmakers in. But apparently you only get one shot every 2 years. Neither you make the list or you don't. And it's not a priority at the government level yet to make a change to that. It's not that we're out of the way. We are. It's really all about the financial situation at the tax level,
and of course,
for main state government. And it's not inviting, which is a shame because think of the movies.
Oh, I know. Just,
yeah.
You have right. like 50, 60 novels, yeah. you know, that they could lean on. And you're like, hey, look at all this IP that you could take, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's right there. Yeah.
It's a shame, but sooner or later, I think it'll happen. But
yeah.
mm-hmm. I think everyone has other things they'd rather fight about.
Yeah. Especially nowadays, I feel like. But yeah.
Well, and so I imagine people are just coming from all over the country to try to take tours. What, to your knowledge, what is the furthest somebody has ever traveled to take a tour?
I think the most interesting is we've had two families from Siberia.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't think people lived in Siberia. But we've had two families from Siberia, not connected, like two separate times. And they showed up in the winter, like in December.
Were they like, ooh, sure is hot here.
Yeah, they're like, this is wonderful.
I bet. Like,
this
yeah.
is fantastic. We've had Australians, people from New Zealand, Japan, Korea, China, South Africa.
Wow.
We had them from all over. But but Siberia, that was the one that kind of got my attention.
Totally. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, watching, you know, the steady stream of fans coming in, I have to imagine you see a lot of the same titles maybe on their shirts or in their questions. And we get to see online the economy of Stephen King, of just knowing how many different titles, you know, people love in Lisi's story, people loving, you know, The Eyes of the Dragon, people loving, you know, Gerald's Game, or, you know, some of the coming in being like, well, actually is, you know, his best book is The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. We're like, oh, wow. Okay. What's your argument? But yeah. for you, while you see all this, the steady stream of what three books would you say you see the most that of people that are fans of?
I got to say probably It, mm-hmm. The Stand, and
11/22/63. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, because the Dairy Connection. Because
that's one of my favorites.
Love 11/22.
On the tour, I tell people my four favorite books. And mm-hmm. when I mention that one, there's applause.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great book. Pet Sematary gets a lot of attention.
Figured
from
out.
A lot of the female fans, they talk about Dolores Claiborne. There's a lot of talk about that book.
I'm a big fan of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's got one, but those are the big ones. It, The Stand, Pet Sematary, and 11/22/63 are kind of the ones that I hear more often than not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you had mentioned 11/22 being one of your favorites. What are your other three?
Well, I've got it in categories. Actually,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love
this. I've got a favorite horror novel, mm-hmm. non-horror okay. novel, audiobook, and Bachman book.
Oh man, I love Ooh, that. Wow. I love that rubric.
See,
I do too. Yeah.
Now, but what I want to add to that, a favorite collection of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I thought it was going to be Skeleton Crew, but I just finished Night Shift. And
it's so perfect.
So I don't know 20 years from now when I'm done reading, I don't know which will be my favorite collection because there's so mm-hmm. many of them and they're so great. I thought Skeleton Crew was going to be the answer, but after reading Night Shift, man, that got me.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's so good.
I don't know. I might never get that last one. So my favorite horror novel is It. Because that happened in Derry. It happened in Bangor.
Makes sense.
And it literally changed my life. It showed me, I guess, possibility. And it showed me, like, you know, how this happens. How mm-hmm. I'm standing right here. This is where Ben was standing. I'm seeing what Ben saw. And
it made me cry.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is creepy. Like, it wasn't creepy before, but now. And so that's my favorite horror novel. My favorite non-horror novel is 11/22/63.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is just a spectacular piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Bachman book is Thinner.
I love Thinner. I love Thinner.
Well, yeah. Now, a lot of people say that The Long Walk is mm-hmm. their favorite Bachman book. And I get that. But, Thinner was the one, yeah, you could have taken that book at the end and just smacked me in the face with it.
mm-hmm.
Great ending.
Yeah.
And then my favorite audiobook is Stephen King's On Writing.
It's so good.
I'm dying to listen to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and so for all of you out there who don't know, Steve reads the audio of that book himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to every Stephen King audio ever done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That, to me, is my favorite because it's it's more relaxed. Just Steve talking about his own life and his own writing.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still reading words on a page, but I think it has a different quality to it. And I think that book is probably the best book on writing ever written. But to hear him do the audio is a totally different experience.
Yeah. I've listened to it about 3 times. I love it.
I've got to get a new copy. Mine broke in my last transfer.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Retirement, coming home, it all snapped up. I got to find another audio of that so I can hear it again.
I think we're covering that next year, Jen. I'm gonna have to do the audio for that.
It's really good.
And that was the one that, got Steve back in the saddle after he got smacked by that van.
Yeah.
And and I think part of that isn't just the how you write, but that you can.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you permission to go for it and see if you have a spark of talent. And you might find that you don't, but you're not going to know unless you really become serious about it. And it tells you what it takes to really try to do it. And I think that is very motivating. So not only is it the nuts and bolts of how to do it, but not many books, I think, really provide you motivation to do it.
Yeah. And it makes it feel accessible, too, because I have got started writing in the last couple of years and never had any kind of training on anything. And I read that and I was like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
It's just such a personal thing. Yeah. And for him to talk about adverbs, but also this is how I write every day. And then this is what you do when it's not going well. And it's just it's so sweet. And the way it's bookended by his own life. It's a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
Well, so we've asked about your favorite books, but who would you say your favorite, this is something we all kind of discuss a little bit. Who would you say your favorite loser is of the Losers Club? Or which one would you identify most with?
I identify the most with Mike Hanlon.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
You know, I joined the Navy at 17 years old to get as far away from this town as I possibly could. I couldn't get out of here fast enough. I was ready to go, and I never planned to come back when I left. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. Mike Hanlon is one that never left. And I wonder what my life would have been like had I not left.
Mm-hmm.
I left. I was successful, right? Everyone else left and they were successful. He stayed behind on the bottom. And I feel like my life wouldn't have been a librarian, but my life wouldn't be the adventure I'm on now had I stayed behind.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the guy that I always relate to. Just because I understand what he didn't get. I understand the opportunities. And there are people in Maine now who've never left Maine. I left, I've seen the world, and I'm happy to be back because of it. But I can't imagine never leaving my hometown, never leaving my home state. And a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do that.
Well, speaking of leaving your hometown, the last question I have, and this is us getting a little fun, with the tours. You know, you've read his works, you've seen many of the places that inspired his works, but as he says, there are other worlds than these. And for you, reading his work, if you could go to any fictional town in King's Dominion, what would it be, and what are a few of the stops you might go on?
Wow.
That's from Jen, by the way.
That is
Jen's question. Yeah. And I jumped on it, so I apologize, but
I'm doing it in September. I'm going to Dexter, Maine, which is a fun little spot. And there are some spots in there associated with Stephen King.
Mm.
But you know where I'd really like to go? I want to go to the old Durham, Maine, where the cult was, that was the inspiration for Jerusalem's Lot, the short story.
Just started reading that yesterday again.
So I even have a book about it. Fair, Clear, and Terrible, the story of Shiloh, about that old cult. And you see this was the old compound.
Interesting.
This is a drawing of the old compound. Now, what you see is the Marston House.
Oh, my God. Wow. How did we not pick up on this?
I know.
Yeah. This is amazing. This is just absolutely wild. And here's another picture of it. Inside, I'll get real close. This is gonna be really awkward. That was the cult's commune. And look at this right here.
So clearly, it was inspired by this. Was this something that, growing up in Maine, you had heard about?
No, this is just stuff from getting home and digging into this.
Wow.
Remember, I was gone for 25 years. And in the military, you don't get to read a lot. Mm-hmm. So I've always been a constant reader, but like, I'm not going to get to read this stupid book till February.
Oh no.
Right?
I don't have time. And I want to know all about, because that story, Jerusalem's Lot, holy moly.
I know.
And that Joe Chapelwaite, Adrian Brody, I'm in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to read this book. Right? Yeah. I want to see, I want to know all about it. So I'm going to Dexter, and there's a spot in Dexter. If you look in the right spot, it is the cover of Needful Things.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
And part of Graveyard Shift, rats in the basement of the old mill. The mill is in Dexter. In Creepshow 2, there's a Rennie's. That's in Dexter.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to Dexter in September to take a little field trip. But if there's if there's a thing I want to do, I want to know more about that cult. I want to know, because how often do you get to hear like the real thing? Like, that really happened. Now, obviously, he grew up probably being exposed to the lore of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I obviously never would be. So what existed? How did it tumble around in his head and then become, you know, a fantastic short story and then, you know, develop into something else?
Yeah.
That's something I want to look into and know more about that. You know, I sadly don't get a lot of time to do that kind of stuff until the dead of winter.
You know, we relate. when and beyond Stephen King, I have a stack of books that I'd love to get to. Mm-hmm. And since starting this podcast 4.5 years ago, I have books that have long been through the discourse that people aren't talking about anymore. Then I'm like, all right, I'll get to it in, I don't know, 2025 or whatever. My favorite part of us doing this podcast, we bifurcate a lot of the book episodes into different sections. And one of the sections we have is just the history. And I love trying to figure out where King was at mentally and spiritually when he was writing these books. And, you know, there's not a lot out there, you know, for a lot of it. You know, a lot of it you really kind of have to kind of contextualize based on where he was maybe writing it or where he was, you know, what was going on politically. So, you know, that's what I love about, you know, just going into his works is that, you know, even just doing this interview right now and figuring out about Dexter, I mean, that just, you know, we didn't know that.
I know.
So there's just so much, there's so many roads and so many stories to still be told that I think is just, like you were saying before, there's so many ways to refresh that tour because it's just, it's always going to keep going. You know,
Now, here's a character I want to know about. You're not asking the question I'm going to tell you. What the heck happened to Father Callahan?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, why isn't that a thing? Like, there's a story there. Yeah. I want to know that. I want to know what happened to him.
Yeah.
I want to know all about it.
Not to spoil too much on what's going to happen with Billy Summers, but he is dipping into a lot of his own King's Dominion and IP. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did, you know, maybe try to do something to kind of connect the bridge there.
Or maybe he's already written it and it's in a drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed on that one. I don't want to be jingly or anything, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has just been an absolute joy. I want to get to Bangor soon. We were supposed to go in 2020. Yeah. Same with the bus. Who knew? You know, who knew? So I'm hoping that in the future we have a Losers Club retreat where we can all go there and, you know, sit at the Jade. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's my recommendation. Plan at least 2 months in advance.
Okay.
Mm, okay. That's good to know.
Now, I'm increasing my seat capacity next year. I'm trying to double the amount of private tours I can offer. I'm training a new driver. And I'm trying to increase the seat in my regular tour vehicle. I'm trying to add as many seats as I can, as safely as I can. With my dad retired, I'm doing tours as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, yeah, you know, I'm booked a month in advance at least.
That's great, though.
And for you guys, you're going to want to take a billion pictures. Right?
That's, yeah, absolutely.
You know we're going to go crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And my private tours are booked a month and a half or 2 months out. So I want you guys to come. I want everyone listening to come up. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to plan. You got to plan way in advance and, you know, find a concert at the concert venue you like so you can get a concert and get the tour, do something like that. And it can be a good time. But the people who drive up here, they looked at the website, they thought there were availabilities, they drive up here and now they aren't. And I don't like having to say no to people. I can't give quality tours fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna shorten it or cheapen it. It's mm-hmm. going to be 3 solid hours. And it's a long tour.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. great.
It's a long tour, but it's not even enough time. So plan as far as you can in advance. I'm already taking bookings for next year.
We're going to look for next year for sure. Just
look as far in advance as you can. And I'd love to have you guys up here. Maybe we could do another thing while you're here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, it would be so much fun.
That would be awesome.
Who knows where we're going to be at in our long journey that we're doing. But mm-hmm. yeah, we'd love to have you on more often. You're just such a delight to talk to. I can see why you've managed to make a successful business out of this, because not only do you have a great voice, but you just have a wonderful candor and insight. So this is an absolute joy. But no, definitely we'll book early. I wondered, if this is Derry, do they have a hotel that he had that was maybe in mind, where you know Bev and everyone?
You're talking about
at
the Derry townhouse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
The Derry townhouse was originally called the Bangor House.
Mm.
The Bangor House was the largest hotel north of Boston on the entire East Coast. 6 presidents have stayed there. That became the Derry townhouse, the only place there was for anyone to stay. That was the only place to stay. And now it's elderly housing, but it's still there. Just like Freezes. The old Freezes store was the largest department store north of Boston on the entire East Coast. And Freezes is still there, but it's also elderly housing.
Oh, no. That's
yeah. You see the trend.
Uh-huh. I'm just going to go buy I'm going to go rent an apartment at this point, have my dad call up.
There is a hotel in Bangor called the Charles Inn. The Charles Inn used to be the Phoenix Inn, and that's where all Steve's friends would stay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they now have 2 Stephen King themed rooms.
Oh, very cool.
Wow.
A King room and a Derry room. Unfortunately, there's a huge hubbub about that place right now. I'm not going to recommend or not recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be fair really for anyone to say any more that those rooms exist, and people should do the research if they want. I don't know if the current owners will own it much longer.
Okay.
Now, they probably will. They'll probably survive the little kerfuffle that's gone on about them.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to aggressively or actively promote them. I'll just say that those rooms exist. Okay. And they're well done. But it's that's something to look into also if you wanted to come and kind of dive into the King experience. They don't really have any connection to the Kings, but mm-hmm. they have 2 themed rooms, and the Derry room's a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And it keeps the theme alive. Well, we got a lot of planning ahead.
I can't wait. I know.
I cannot wait. I was already jonesing to go to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like an excuse. Like, my cousin lives in Portland, so I should be going. So yeah. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's going to happen, and we will definitely be in contact, because I would love to meet in person and talk, because this has been just too much fun. So
excellent.
This was so much fun. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And we'll have you on the pod soon. This is
excellent.
A joy. Good luck to the rest of the summer and for the fall, which I imagine is going to be a wild season. So
yeah.
We'll talk soon. Right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Can you tell me? Can you tell me?
Well, I think it's settled. I think we got to celebrate our 5th anniversary in Bangor, Maine. What do you think, Jen?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
I would leave right now if possible.
Oh, me too. I mean, when he said that you had to book in advance, that kind of really disappointed me, because I was like,
I know.
I want to go right now.
I know. Yeah.
God. Based on our discussion, though, what would you say is a stop that you would be most excited to see?
Probably. I think the gates. His house, but I want to see the standpipe. It took me forever to figure out what a standpipe actually was.
Same.
And I just want to see what the real thing looks like, and it looks really cool, and see if maybe the door's open.
Yeah, I feel like when you look at, and look, like what I mentioned in the interview, like when we get tagged with all our constant listeners going, to this tour, mm-hmm. I feel like the standpipe is at least like in the top 3 of the things that that people get to see, because it is so unique. Like, not mm-hmm. every place. I mean, I guess every town probably has a standpipe of sorts, but I don't really ever see it. It's kind of just like, on the outskirts or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, would like to see that. I'd probably freak out at seeing any of the pet cemetery locations.
Mm-hmm.
And not like scared. I'd just be like losing my mind, just because when I think of what a Stephen King story looks like, you know, as I mentioned in the interview, I think of Pet Cemetery, and that mm-hmm. one, I especially feel like I would lose my mind in Mount Hope Cemetery. So
yeah.
Anyway, as James said, and as I just mentioned, if you want a tour, you got to book well in advance. And you can find all the necessary links in the description of this episode, or you can head to sk-tours.com. But look, Jen, before we catch our flight and go our separate ways, hashtag journey, let's catch up on where we're going to go next, because we got a lot of places we're going.
Yep, lots of places.
Where are you going to be at with psychoanalysis this month?
Well, psychoanalysis, we are doing Parenting Month. So we're talking about not necessarily a mental illness or mental health thing, but just all of the different things that go along with being a parent, and a lot of the things that make that hard and stressful. So we're talking about Bloodline and Prevenge, but we also have Comfort Horror episodes on Your Next. Woo-hoo. And I know.
I
was so
movie.
Excited I made a really weird noise after I said that.
Well, it's crazy to think it's been 10 years since that movie came out.
Right? I know. Yes. Yeah. And it still holds up, man.
Oh, totally.
It's so
totally.
Good.
Totally.
And then we're going to be watching Event Horizon, too, which I'm so excited about.
I love that you're putting that as a comfort horror. It's because it's for me as a kid, and there's a piece somewhere on the internet about this, seeing Sam Neill, who was Dr. Grant to me, as this psychopath in that is just... Yeah, it was too much.
I remember my friend like running screaming out of the theater when we went to see it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a part scary. Of that I was doing that. And then there was also, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is a fate for a character in that movie that is probably the most harrowing and heroic, actually, feat in all of cinematic existence. Like when you really think mm-hmm. and break down what happens to that character, you're like, mm-hmm. oh my God. What a fucking crazy sacrifice. But I've said too much. Definitely. I don't mean to spoil Event Horizon for everyone out there. I love Event Horizon. I can't wait to listen to that episode. But look, we got a lot of stuff for you in August that's coming up. Here in the Made feed, you're going to be getting an unreal, really, really, really deep episode. Three hours worth on Stand By Me for the 35th anniversary. We recorded that last night with singer-songwriter Dan Mangan. Great episode. One of my favorites. I know I say that all the time and I kind of sound like, I don't know, a TV evangelist, but like that, it's true. I will say without a doubt that it was one of my favorite episodes we've done. Then we're going to be reviewing Epix's Chapel Wait, which you've seen already.
I'm about five episodes in at this
wow,
point.
Wow. So they gave you that many episodes. Holy shit.
Yeah. They gave me the whole season. Yeah.
Oh my God. I got to go and look at our screeners, cause I'm dying to watch that. Cause we have we got a press day sometime next week, so I got to really start getting anticipated for that, which, yes, you're going to be also getting some interviews from Chapel Wait as well. So
yeah.
You got that.
And oh, it's what, good so far. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
And yeah, Randall was saying it was scary too. So
Yeah, scary vampires. I mean, ooh. Not to spoil.
Well, look, it's Salem's Lot, Jerusalem's Lot. They're going to be vamps walking around. Hopefully they're, yeah. you know, scarier than the ones.
Not to spoil a 40-year-old novel.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, God. But those aren't the only interviews you're going to get, because we also recorded an interview with Stand By Me screenwriters. Clearly, we're fans of this movie. Bruce A. Evans and Reynold Gideon. We have a nice hour chat with him. And if you thought that we had some great stories on this episode, they bring some really, really great stories involving Stephen King in that one as well. And look, that's only half of all the coverage we're doing this month. Because over in Patreon, we're also covering Billy Summers, Stephen King's new book, which is just excellent. Mm-hmm. You could read my review over at Bloody Disgusting, and your reviews should be hitting Rue Morgue soon, right?
Yep, should be sweet. Up at this point, yeah.
Very exciting. And then we're also going to be doing, believe it or not, in the same year that Stand By Me came out, so did Maximum Overdrive. Opposite ends.
Exactly.
Just
yeah.
total opposite ends.
In the best way.
Yeah, really, really. So we're going to be doing a commentary track on that. I'm sure we'll crank up some AC/DC. And then we are bringing back the archival. Bringing back. It's recurring. We're having the archival series again this month. And wouldn't you know, Stand By Me theme. So we're going to be keeping on theme this entire month. And we're going to be talking about Gordy LaChance's stories, Stud City, and Lard S. Hogan. So,
yeah. So more
Jen,
puke. Yay.
What is sleep? I don't really know anymore.
I know. I mean,
oh my God. Yeah. It just kills me. I'm running on fumes right now. I'm running on maximum overdrive fumes, like, you know, like,
right.
Geek, geek. So
and I was just thinking I'm running like on the vampire, like no sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those, but that works for the vampires because they don't need sleep. So
that's right. Know, yeah. You know, if I could have one superpower, maybe it would be to not need sleep.
I know that would be actually kind of great because then I could kind of float around the night. I don't know. Because I like the night. I don't like the day. Like, I like
Me
the
too.
Day sometimes.
I thrive in darkness. I
same,
say.
Same. Well, look, as you can see, we are sleep-deprived hosts.
We are. And slap happy.
I won't speak for both of us, but I know I crave one thing, and that is, well, sleep, but also bright red Pennywise clown noses. Yes, reviews. Please give us some reviews over at Apple Podcasts. We've gotten some little mean-spirited ones lately.
Some Henry
that were
Bowers
like,
is
some Harry good. Bowers have been, you know, coming in and getting a little upset about things.
Nice,
and, you know, it's fine. I get it. We can take criticism. It's fine. But we also love, you know, some praise sometimes. So if you got it in your heart to put it out there, head on over, give us some bright red Pennywise clown noses. Obviously, that's not what they are. I think they're stars over there, but let's just imagine they're, you know, clown noses. And leave us a review. We love to hear from you, and we promise not to bite. So until next time, we will be seeing you over long days.
And pleasant nights.
I got some hot friends. 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 But you know you want somebody to treat you good.
You've made it to the end of another bloody disgusting podcast. Congratulations. If you like our programming, consider searching for other bloody disgusting podcasts, such as Creepy, Horror Queers, The Boo Crew, SCP Archives, Nightlight, Margaret's Garden, and more.